and are followed by your afflictions. Would that they were indeed following you. In that case, they would be farther away. As it is, you are carrying and not leading them. Hence, they press about you on all sides, continually chafing and annoying you. It is medicine, not scenery, for which the sick man must go a-searching. Suppose that someone has broken a leg or dislocated a joint. He does not take carriage or ship for other regions, but he calls in the physician to set the fractured limb, or to move it back to its proper place in the socket. What then? When the spirit is broken, or wrenched in so many places, do you think that change of place can heal it? The complaint is too deep-seated to be cured by a journey. Travel does not make a physician or an orator. No art is acquired by merely living in a certain place. Where lies the truth, then? Can wisdom, the greatest of all the arts, be picked up on a journey? I assure you, travel as far as you like. You can never establish yourself beyond the reach of desire, beyond the reach of bad temper, or beyond the reach of fear. Had it been so, the human race would long ago have banded together and made a pilgrimage to the spot. Such ills, as long as you carry with you their causes, will load you down and worry you to skin and bone in your wanderings over land and sea. Do you wonder that it is of no use to run away from them? That from which you are running is within you. Accordingly, reform your own self. Get the burden off your own shoulders, and keep within safe limits the cravings which ought to be removed. Wipe out from your soul all trace of sin. If you would enjoy your travels, make healthy the companion of your travels. As long as this companion is avaricious and mean, greed will stick to you. And while you consort with an overbearing man, your puffed-up ways will also stick close. Live with a hangman, and you will never be rid of your cruelty. If an adulterer be your clubmate, he will kindle the baser passions. If you would be stripped of your faults, leave far behind you the patterns of the faults. The miser, the swindler, the bully, the cheat, who will do you much harm merely by being near you, are within you. Change, therefore, to better associations. Live with the Catos, with Lilius, with Tubero. Or, if you enjoy living with Greeks also, spend your time with Socrates and with Zeno. The former will show you how to die, if it be necessary. The latter, how to die before it is necessary. Live with Chrysippus, with Posidonius. They will make you acquainted with things earthly and things heavenly. They will bid you work hard over something more than neat turns of language and phrases mouthed forth for the entertainment of listeners. They will bid you be stout of heart and rise superior to threats. The only harbor safe from the seething storms of this life is scorn of the future, a firm stand, a readiness to receive Fortune's missiles full in the breast, neither skulking nor turning the back. Nature has brought us forth brave of spirit, and, as she has implanted in certain animals a spirit of ferocity, in others craft, in others terror, so she has gifted us with an aspiring and lofty spirit, which prompts us to seek a life of the greatest honor, and not of the greatest security, that most resembles the soul of the universe, which it follows and imitates as far as our mortal steps permit. This spirit thrusts itself forward, confident of commendation and esteem. It is superior to all, monarch of all it surveys. Hence, it should be subservient to nothing, finding no task too heavy and nothing strong enough to weigh down the shoulders of a man. Shapes dread to look upon, of toil or death, are not in the least dreadful if one is able to look upon them with unflinching gaze and is able to pierce the shadows. Many a sight that is held a terror in the night time is turned to ridicule by day. Shapes dread to look upon, of toil or death. Our Virgil has excellently said that these shapes are dread, not in reality, but only to look upon. In other words, they seem terrible, but are not. And in these visions, what is there, I say, as fear-inspiring as rumor has proclaimed? Why, pray, my dear Lucilius, should a man fear toil or a mortal death? Countless cases occur to my mind of men who think that what they themselves are unable to do is impossible, who maintain that we utter words which are too big for man's nature to carry out. But how much more highly do I think of these men?